The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in. On the Still Just Fishing Show, we got Captain Chip Wingo in here with us this morning.
Good morning.
And,
good morning.
There we go. Okay. And Bill Denmark.
Hey. Hi.
Hi there. I want to make sure maybe my microphone, maybe my headphones aren't turned up here. So, because a lot of times I put them on whoever's been wearing or whoever's had this seat before me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it blasts you out of here. you have to be careful. You can't put the headphones on and just plug it in.
Is that an old people joke? Because I'm starting to get offended.
Anyway, looks like we got a little bit of better news as far as for the state of Florida. Looks like the hurricane may not hit, you know, landfall in the state, according to the newest updates. So hopefully that thing will get the next day or so. It'll show it even further and further offshore. And, you know, maybe it'll go up the coast and not do too much damage. So anyway, are y'all on a low plane over there where you're at?
Yeah.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Like I said, I think I'm just going to get out of here. I mean, yeah. We can't fish for a few days, so.
No, you sure can't.
Might as well.
It's not going to be too pleasurable out there fishing. Matter of fact, today we got some rain coming. It looks like, you know, from the southeast, looks like it may hit the area where Leon's fishing at this morning, so I don't know.
I'm going to be fishing in my neighbor's yard with my fly rod. It's sure to have 2 feet of water in it. Maybe I can get some reds out of there.
Did you ever see that picture Leon put up?
Which one?
Of him. Where he had the bull red mount laying in his backyard.
Oh, no.
He's throwing a lure at it in the middle of the hurricane that we had a couple of years ago. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Leave it to him.
Yeah, I tell you, it's this thing is so iffy. You know, a lot of people can't tell. And, you know, we're going to kind of look at it today, too, to decide. Of course, my daughter's got those two dogs, so you know, we'd have to have a pet-friendly place to go. So, you know, we're kind of looking at it today to see what's going on and all. And
I figure it's an excuse to just go up to the farm and play.
Yeah, so, see, you could do that.
You know,
we have to kind of hunt for a pet-friendly hotel or whatever. You know, because my other daughter lives way up there in Madison, which is about 60 miles east of Atlanta. That's quite a ways off, and then you know, of course, friends of ours in Tennessee told me, come on up here, but you know, that's quite a ways off. Don't know.
He's telling me to move around here. This one?
Oh wow, yeah. Yeah, that one.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. They had trouble with that one, I think it was last week too. I thought they might have had it fixed or something.
They've had problems with that. And I know what you're talking about the pets.
Yeah.
We've got the two dogs now and four cats. And it's like last hurricane we went on, we took only had the one dog and we took it and left the cats at home.
Well, at least you'll never starve.
Taco Tuesday.
There you go.
Taco Tuesday.
I'm always ready to, you know, eat house pets and shoot looters.
Oh, boy. Living in Florida, you got to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have a sense of humor anywhere anymore.
Hey, yeah. Did you see that Publix made a Hurricane Dorian cake down in South Florida?
No.
Yeah, it was kind of, it wasn't even a, you know, just a tremendous creation, but somebody was super offended, and it got so ridiculous that it made CNN that this woman was aggravated that they'd make fun of a hurricane. And the woman that bought it, that posted the photo on her Facebook or whatever, she was like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, really?
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. That's what I say. You got to have, living in Florida, you got to have a sense of
it's a cake.
Humor, you know. It's like I saw a post yesterday. I think it was yesterday. It might have been the day before. I don't know. Been kind of getting ready for this thing, so I don't know which day it was now. But it said, you know, you always live on a couple of cans of sodas a day, but, you know, hurricane comes, you get, you know, 40 cases of water now.
So. We had that same conversation yesterday.
Well, I know when I was in when I first went to New Smyrna Beach, I was about 25, and, you know, we just get 40 cases of beer.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we always, hurricane parties were just crazy fun.
Back in the day when it never hit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it depends on how close they get, if it's fun or not.
I don't know. The last two we had, the first one, I bailed out. 15-hour drive to Panama City. That was a lot of fun. Second one I stayed, which is the one I should have left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping our boat ramps is going to hold up, too. You know, that's another thing. They got a lot of damage through, what was it, Irma? Well, Matthew and Irma. And anyway, hopefully, you know, we'll get this thing a little bit further offshore before it actually comes up the coast. And
you guys are just ruining my day. You know, I'm not going to make any money if it goes offshore.
Oh, yeah, you go to South Carolina, North Carolina.
I don't want to.
You know?
Yeah, there's nowhere to stay up there.
Don't you have relatives up there?
Uh-uh.
No, you don't. I thought you did.
No.
Yeah.
Let's see. North Carolina, it's been how many years since they've taken a whack?
Well, we've never had one above a Category 2 up anywhere north of South Florida, anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it hits, once that hurricane hits and tears stuff down, then they rebuild properly or to newer standards.
Mm-hmm.
But when it hits virgin territory, like if it hit Jacksonville, I was with my wife and I were driving around. We went, her birthday was this week, and I got her a pie at Pie Heaven. Be sure to stop there. It's worth it. It's a $32 pie. It's worth $62. Oh, my goodness. But we were driving around, and I was pointing out roof damage. Now, we're in a car. We're going 30 miles an hour, and there's roof damage everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If a big storm would hit here or Daytona, mm-hmm, or any of these places where there's no storm, oh, my goodness, the destruction would be unbelievable.
Well, there's a lot of people here who still haven't recovered from the last storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's still people waiting to get their homes paid for down in St. Augustine area.
That's unusual.
Some people still are waiting on money for it. So,
yeah, there's that.
Because insurance companies, the laws in Florida, if you go to 120 days, you better be doing something, mm-hmm, or the state will step in. So, mm-hmm, but a lot of people, you know, you don't have new home insurance. And sometimes folks are, you know, they come up against it and they say, well, you know, you got to replace this and that. And I said, no, that's not storm damage. It's not. It's not covered. It's, you know, it's flood. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's how these homes go on forever. Or like the case you said, where they're fighting between the flood insurance companies, the groundwater versus the water that came in through the roof.
Yeah, see, that's what a lot of people don't understand about the water coming from
the ground,
the sky, or coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the flood damage is not, you know, for flood insurance, in other words.
Right.
Now, I have flood insurance, which is good, but
it's only good if you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope I don't have to use it. That's the thing. You know, I'm worried about my smaller house that's in the front there that I built for my dad. You know,
on your compound.
It's lower to the ground, you know, than my other house. It's
how many,
four steps up into the other house.
So. How many homes are on the Tyson compound?
Three.
That's okay.
Three.
They're about to build the three-story garage.
Did you see that new house he's building on the river up on the hill there?
Me?
I can't wait.
No, I got my daughter's house in the back, and then my house, and then my dad's house was built. But, so hopefully, maybe it's a good thing we got you on here this week, see, because you know a lot about this hurricane damage and
we can go over that
insurance and stuff like that. So, you know, if people have questions about that, maybe, you can answer them. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but we can see. But,
anyway. It's not like fishing. You can't just make stuff up and lie.
Yeah, really? 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Hey, That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning showing today east, southeast winds, 10 to 15 knots, seas 3 to 5 feet, with occasional seas up to 6 feet. Tomorrow, northeast winds, 15 to 20 knots, seas 7 to 8 feet, with occasional seas up to 11 feet. And then it's going to supposedly get a lot worse with, northeast winds, tropical storm conditions on Sunday night, and then Monday, seas up to 13, 14 feet. So we'll just have to see how this plays out.
It's all subject to change.
It is, and I hope if they're talking about coming up the coast, that's one of the things about the rain in the St. John's River, mm-hmm. getting all that fresh water. We were talking about that off the air, but if it dumps a lot of water all the way up the St. John's River, that's really going to affect the shrimping, which is doing really good this year, of all things. And, it's going to put a lot of fresh water in the river. So we just croakers. Have to see how that's – yeah, the croakers may just come and go, real quick.
We had that storm last time. We had all that rain. It took a long time for that salinity to change.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a – good thing to flush all that nasty water from the dredging out.
Yeah.
But they're going to make more.
Yeah, they're going to make more.
Yeah.
Unless we get lucky and the dredge barges get sucked out the river and, give us a year for them to recuperate that. Let FEMA take care of them and it'll be a year and a half and our fishing will be back to normal.
That's some serious structure.
Yeah, it is. Of course, when they put them things down, with the post down into the into the mud when they put those pilings down into the mud to anchor those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far down they go in the mud or whatever, but I mean, that's some serious anchor. So
yeah, it must be pretty far because, my God, just think of the tide hitting that giant thing that's, I don't know, yeah, whether they draw 12, 14 feet, 16 feet.
I don't know, but it doesn't move. So,
yeah,
you know, so it must go down there pretty good. I mean, pretty far down in that. And, you know, I guess they could survive that storm in the river like that.
You know? Well, they certainly aren't going to, you know, jump in it and drive somewhere safe.
No.
No.
No, but,
no, they'll leave it.
And they don't, yeah, and they don't have any really place where they can take it to hide it like you take, the, you know, some of the boats or some of the, you know, larger yachts and things like that where they can kind of get alongside BAE or something like that. I mean, that stuff is just way too big.
Yeah.
You know? I would think the, you know, they'd probably have to empty all of the barges, make sure they're all empty so they don't, you know, sink or whatever. Because, you know, there's a big difference from when they fill it up with mud and then when it's, you know, empty. I mean, there's like a 15, 16 foot difference in height.
Right.
So, you know, and I've seen this river get pretty nasty. So as far as, you know, the waves and stuff in the river itself. So I would think they'd leave all the barges, you know, emptied and as high as they can give them.
Of course, the barges they can push downtown.
Yeah, they could put them anywhere. Yeah.
I don't know. I think we're cursed and we're going to keep those thing dredges for, what, 3 years?
That's what I'd heard was three more years. So I don't know.
I've only bull red fished twice this year.
Well, and they haven't been in the river very much. You know, I mean, I expected now that the shrimp run's going to start and you get the, you know, the smaller croakers moving around, you know, because those reds love them.
Yeah.
You know, get some more ladyfish moving around, stuff like that. I would think that the bull reds would have really, you know, picked up in the river. And, of course, I haven't been out there, you know, in a few weeks. Ben's had my wife back in the hospital again. And also, I haven't been out there in a while. So, to try it, the last couple of trips I've tried down there in a river hasn't been very good for bull reds.
The ones we were catching were chunking up shrimp like crazy, and they're full of shrimp.
Oh, wow.
They must just go along the bottom with their mouth open, just inhale it.
Yeah, because, I mean, the shrimp run has been so good as far as, you know, people around Doctor's Inlet and just north of Doctor's Inlet. They've been, I mean, I've been seeing cooler fulls of, you know, nice-sized shrimp.
Palakka's had a really good year, too.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of was hoping that would continue. And, you know, as they get further and further down the river, or, you know, up the river, however you want to say it, down the river, as they get further and further down the river like that, you know, I expected the fishing to really pick up, you know. You know, a lot of times you get the black drum that starts following them out from, like, Mandarin and stuff. I mean, we used to go down here and catch them around the Fullerton Bridge. You know, the black drum used to catch them at the mouth of Ortega River on that sandbar there. And then, of course, the mouth of Trout River. And, you know, as they're moving out with the shrimp. And you catch a pretty nice sheep's head out there, you know, in the same structure as the drum. But, you know, the past couple of years, it's been kind of slow for the drum because the shrimp runs hasn't been very good at all, you know. So,
well, I tell you what, I had a phenomenal black drum bite the other day. We had like 35 of them.
Oh, wow.
And they were all in that same slot range from 14 to just under 15 inches.
Oh, wow.
But it was every cast, and I was like, where did these guys pop in from? Because that same bite, you know, earlier in the week, it was all redfish. I mean, loaded with redfish. And one day, all they wanted to eat, the day I took Wingate, all they wanted to eat was shrimp. And then the next day, all they wanted was cut pogies and mullet. And then the next day, they just completely shut down. And the whole, I mean, you know, we're talking a mile-long stretch, maybe 2 miles, and they wouldn't eat anything.
Well, that's one of the good things about the shrimp, because you can get, you know, sheep's head and black drum and all that mixed in when you're, instead of using like mullet or pogies.
Yeah. Well, it's like Leon and I talk about it all the time. I mean, when you're fishing the valley and some of the other areas and the beaches, you have to have mullet, mud minnows, shrimp, crab, and everything else in your boat, because if you don't have it, they're going to eat something that you don't have.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
So, and then it's trying to figure out what they want, you know, and then you can go pop four out of a school and move down and find another school, and the first school was eating shrimp. The next school doesn't want shrimp. You know, they want a piece of cracked crab, or they want a cut mullet or a live mullet with the tail trimmed off.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest keys is cutting that mullet tail off.
That is so weird, though, how fish do that, you know, how they switch up like that. And I guess it's just whatever is right there where they're feeding at that particular time, you know. I mean, they're concentrated on that. I guess that's a big thing. But, you know, it's kind of hard when you're, you know, out there and you're thinking, you know, well, you know, I've got mud minnows and shrimp and crab today. And then all of a sudden you can't get them to eat because they're eating little pogies or something, you know. So.
Yeah.
You know, that woman that sells shrimp just on Hexer, just crossed the tracks. So I think her name's Angie.
Mm-hmm.
She's selling mullet now and croakers. They don't always have them, but, you know, she's got shrimp again, and because they were out of business for almost a year. We didn't have any shrimp, but she's got pretty nice mullet. I bought mullet from her a couple times.
Are they live mullet?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, live mullet, live croakers.
Hmm.
I tell you what, those croakers were the most unbelievable bait I've ever used for red snapper.
Hmm.
And that's what we used down out of Canaveral. There was a guy we pulled up to, a kid had a, I don't know, maybe a 25-foot boat. And he had a well loaded with them.
Hmm.
And I think they were $2 a piece. And we'd buy, you know, 6-7 dozen each time.
Golly.
You know?
Wow.
So.
That's more than fuel.
Well, I wasn't buying them, but
I mean,
we went on the 70-footer the first or the second day. And they had a live well full of them. And we limited out with 21 people on the boat, and I mean, it had to be an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, pull down, you drop a live croaker down, and you had to let them eat it. You know, had a longer leader on it, too, so you drop it down and let it go back in the current, and you'd feel the thump, and you just wait a second, and then as fast as you could reel to get it, you know, to tighten the line back up, and they were doubled over. It was so much fun.
Hmm.
So it was.
You can imagine, those croakers have got to be a great bite. As noisy as they are when you put a hook in them, you know? They've just got to be. I mean, one of the largest trout I've caught, speckled trout, was on a croaker, you know, small croaker.
Mine was on a Sailor's Choice.
Sailor's Choice?
It's about a 6-inch. I cut the top fin off a Sailor's Choice at night in New Smyrna. You
know, and then pinfish work good down there, too.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a Sailor's Choice and a pinfish?
Actually, you're probably talking about a pinfish.
I'm talking about a pigfish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, pigfish. Yeah,
those little grunts are awesome.
Yeah, now those things, I mean, they oink like a pig,
mm-hmm.
and they make a lot of noise, you know, which when you figure that's got to bring the fish in. I mean, you know, they've got to hear that or feel that or however they do that.
Right.
You know? You've heard shrimp, right?
Yeah.
Live shrimp crackle and pop
mm-hmm.
and click. And that's like when they die, when we're throwing live shrimp on a jig head, when they stop moving the legs, I just pop the head off.
Mm-hmm.
And then start having my clients throw that, and it works. But it's funny because if that, you know, if the water's kind of muddy and you've got a shrimp and you're not getting bites, it's because they can't see it, you know, and there's a very little scent going out off of it.
Yeah.
So, and I tell you, it got muddy last week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of days where I watched the tide go out, and it looked like you were offshore on the rip line.
So. And what was that from? Was rain?
I don't know. It almost looked like there was a lot of rain coming out of like Guana, but it wasn't. It was coming out of the creeks, but it flowed pretty hard. And when it did, it was just a big chocolate milk line going out. There were fish in it. But you know, it was like some of the fish you didn't want to catch. You know, so.
I hate that. Whenever also you'd be fishing in a creek or something, you know, at low tide, and you got a big rainstorm comes through, you could go over here and fish, you know, get out of the rainstorm and stuff like that. But wherever you were catching fish, if you try to go back to it and you see where all that mud probably 10, 15 feet out from the edge of the creek, you know, from that rainstorm. When it rains hard like that on the mud, I mean, that's just, you know, it just muddies it up all along the edges. You know, I say the edges even further out, you know. Anyway, give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hurricane Dorian has gained fearsome new strength and is extremely dangerous Category 4 storm now, bearing down on the northwest of Bahamas and toward Florida. Millions of people in the Sunshine State, along with Walt Disney World and President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Resort, are all the potential crosshairs of the hurricane. It was packing top sustained winds of 140 miles an hour and threatening to strike the Florida Peninsula late Monday or early Tuesday at its current rate. An Iranian official has tweeted President Trump over an apparent rocket failure, showing an image of him standing next to a satellite that was supposed to be launched. Iran's Information and Communications Technology Minister tweeted the image today of Nahid 1 satellite. The tweet comes after satellite photos showed a rocket at Iran's Imam Khomeini Space Center had exploded. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
You've been thinking real hard about getting a new motorcycle. You've done all the research, and you've got a pretty good idea what you're looking for. The only problem is, it's out of your price range. Buy a used one. Did you know that in many cases, motorcycle manufacturers will produce the same bike for as long as 5 years in a row? Sure, they might change the paint and the graphics, but underneath, it's the same bike. Now, all you have to do is find a used version of that bike. Here is a great place to start. Jacksonville Power Sports. Why Jacksonville Power Sports? Reputation. Since 1975, Jacksonville Power Sports has been proudly serving the people of Jacksonville. They were here then, they're here now, and they'll be here tomorrow. Can the guy on Craigslist say that? Jacksonville Power Sports has over 50 pre-owned sport bikes, cruisers, and dual-purpose motorcycles to choose from. And every single one of them has made a trip through the service department to make sure they're mechanically sound and ready for a new owner. Jacksonville Power Sports, located on Atlantic Boulevard, a half mile west of 295. Give them a call today at 641-5320 or shop online at jacksonvillepowersports.com.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
40% chance of showers and mostly cloudy skies all weekend, along with highs into the upper 80s, nighttime lows upper 70s. Then tropical storm conditions will start for Monday, Labor Day, with an 80% chance of showers most of the week. Hurricane conditions by Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies in that period with highs into the upper 80s, nighttime lows 75.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I know Leon's out there this morning. I want to make sure that he watches that weather coming, because he's right there where that big old patch is coming through down there at Palm Valley. So if anybody else is down there listening, looks like a pretty good patch coming through, fixing to hit the intercoastal down there if it's not already hitting it.
Oh, it's all over.
Is it?
Like it,
yeah. That's such a shame. Because I know he's trying to get in, you know, some more trips before
we're shut down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I tell you, I don't know, like we were talking about earlier, I don't know how much rain we're going to get, so we don't know how much, you know, muddy water we're going to get, how much, of course, the fresh water, you know, that's not going to happen for a couple of weeks because, you know, it's going to take some time for it to flush out of the river, and that's what's going to be hurting.
What was the first storm we had that came through? You remember, we had the two storms. So what was the first one that came through?
Matthew.
Was it Matthew?
Irma.
No, Irma was the last one.
It was Matthew. That's the one that the flounder bite was phenomenal 3 days afterwards.
Really?
Or 2 days after. I got back out 2 days. Mm. But it was big pucker factor running around because everywhere you turn, there was half a dock. Something floating through the water. Mm. But the bite was really good.
I know we was in the river one day throwing bombers for trout.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, "What is that?" And I look up in front of the boat, you know, and of course I'm sitting there on spot lock. And here comes this probably 10 by 15 foot dock just floating down through there. And I'm like, I said, "Well, guys, let me move the boat." I mean, it was coming right down toward us, you know. And so anyway, I moved the boat over and it went by. And the guy says, "What, you going to pull that out?" I said, "We can't pull that out."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how heavy that thing is. And it's already been soaked in water, too, you know.
Well, I tell you one thing, in the valley, you got to be careful. I like to leave early, but you've got to be so careful because there's always, they're doing so much dock work, and there's always something floating. Always.
Yeah, they call that wet storage, you know.
Yeah.
They pitch it overboard.
Well, it's always a piece of piling that's 3 foot long that's just sitting there bobbing right under the water.
Yeah. Or you get a board that's like 18 inches long. Now, I know that don't sound like much, but if you hit it at 40 miles an hour, it could pop your gel coat, it could pop your fiberglass.
Yep.
The other thing is, if you hit it wrong, okay, it can also knock your transducer off your boat. So, you know, you have to watch stuff like that floating, even though it's small like that, because the transducer, it'll just knock it right off. I mean, it'll...
Well, it's not always the size, it's the way it's in the water, too, because the resistance of the water...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like running into a wall.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened to Eggers when he hit the piece of floating debris with two clients in the boat, and it punched a hole in it.
Oh, wow.
In the boat, and then it cracked a stringer and punched a hole in it, and they tried repairing it. It wouldn't. They had to total the boat.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of those things, you can't see it until you're on it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you know.
It's just bobbing. Everyone, and especially if there's a chop on the water,
because
that's when you don't really see it. If it's slick, you can kind of, you know, you got more chance of seeing it. But, you know, if anybody gets out there at the end of this week, please be careful, because that's the thing. We're going to have these nor'easters also, and, you know, have extreme high tides. So everything that's sitting up on the shorelines now is going to be floating again, you know, every time we have an extreme high tide. And then, of course, if you have any damage that happens, you know, to docks or whatever, you're going to have all that, you know, floating around too, you know. So
I tell you one thing that's going to be really good today is that flood tide, and Sunday is probably going to be off the charts.
Well, there's not much chance I'll be fishing after the storm.
No.
Probably for 4 months. If it hits land.
Bill will be out of our way out there for a while.
Huh? Yeah, I won't even be able to listen. I won't even be able to fantasize about fishing. Because we'll work 7 days a week for the first. I've worked 73 days in a row for one of the storms I worked.
Mm.
Yeah,
man.
But then, how long do you have to not worry about working after?
This time it's been 9 months.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fishing.
I try to go at least twice a week.
Yeah,
you know, and I went last week three times. I put my boat in the water and it wouldn't start, which has never happened. Damn it! So it's in the water.
Yeah.
I'm at Joe Carlucci, and my wife loves mangrove snapper, and I said, "Well, I'm going to see if I can catch the mangrove snappers."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fishing on the dock. My boat's on the dock. I'm on the dock fishing, and there's a bunch of snapper. Of course, you know, they're anywhere from 2 to 8 inches long.
Yeah.
So I caught, oh, my God, 30 of them. But what was interesting, and you're talking about earlier, is when the tide switched and it was coming in for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, I was getting six. If they didn't get my bait, I'd get six hits for every cast I made. You know, the snappers. You could see them. You'd pull up, and there'd be like 11 of them chasing your whatever was left of your tattered little bait. within 3 minutes of the mud coming in, it stopped.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, it just like you turned a light switch off. Those fish shut down. It was over. Time to figure out how to get the boat on the trail with no motor and get out of there.
You know, that's a lot of that could be the bait that they cannot see anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Or it could be that they're, you know, having to put that mud through their gills. I don't know how much, what would you say, you know, grinding of their gills or whatever it would be as they're breathing through that muddy water. I don't know. I don't know what affects them like that, but I've had the same thing happen with, you know, redfish in the river. I've had it happen with trout, especially trout.
Yeah, trout, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Trout hate that.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. It was like 3 minutes. It was just
done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three days later, I went back. I had a bunch of manatees. I actually got to molest them. I mean, pet them. I mean, look at them. One of them, my God, that thing would look like a school bus.
Yeah.
There's some big ones this year.
Oh, Lord, yeah. She was a big one. And they're eating the algae and stuff off the dock.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I got a picture of his back sticking up right next to the dock, and its head was under there. Mm. So that was pretty fun. But the boat, I finally got it fixed. I had to buy two batteries. Different kinds of batteries, different purchase dates, both no good.
So, and it might have been because you did leave the key on.
I did leave the key on, and that's what started it.
Mm-hmm.
But that also might be why my stealth charger hasn't been working, because I had a dead battery, so it would never switch off the crank batteries.
That's true. Yeah, because when it goes through that algorithm, it has to have that, show that.
So hopefully, you know,
that charge. Plus, you had that wire you were talking about. It could have been loose.
I fixed that, and I have no idea what it was.
Yeah. See, that's... Did you look at your stealth charger, see the same wire, see if it's the same?
Yeah, that wire is everywhere in my boat.
Oh, is it? That's what's so bad when you have, you know, I mean, I've seen friends of mine boat before where they put, you know, whatever wire they got. They got a red hot wire and a red ground wire, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. I had it rewired. The whole boat was been rewired.
Yeah, but.
But I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice it.
But you fixed it and
put it back on.
Yeah.
Whatever it was is, you know.
And now you're not going to get the chance to use it for a while to see if that fixed your stealth charger or not.
Do you have an onboard charger on your boat?
Yeah.
And see that?
Rebank, so you have your trolling. So you have trolling and house battery?
Yeah, I got four batteries.
Okay, do you have a battery switch on your boat?
Yes.
Do you shut it off?
Never.
Well, I made that mistake. Didn't realize. Didn't think about it.
Well,
if you do, it won't charge the battery. The house battery. And I didn't even think about that because I always shut the breaker off. So I'm like, this isn't making sense. It's not charging my house battery. And then I realized you have to have that on because the only reason you turn it off.
Oh, you mean for your onboard charger?
On your onboard charger.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a three bank charger, you have your house battery and then your two batteries for your trolling motor.
Because
I disconnect my trolling motor every time I'm not using it.
Why?
Because these heads that we have for the spot lock trolling motors continually look for the satellite. So they'll sit there and work, and it'll mess them up.
Even though the trolling motor's turned off?
Trolling motor's turned off, but it's constantly looking for a signal so that it keeps that signal. So when you pop it up, you're able to go right to the signal.
Wonder if Minn Kota does that. Do they all do it, do you think?
I don't know if they all do it or not, but I was told you disconnect them when you're not using them.
Yeah, I got Charlie to put me in a breaker. It's a big breaker where I can flip the switch and
I have,
cut off all the current.
Yeah, they talked me into that. I don't ever use it.
If I turn it off, then I
wonder what's wrong because nothing works. I forgot I turned it off.
So. Well, if you've got a breaker to your trolling motor, you want to turn that off once you, like if you put the boat back on the trailer or whatever, and have that off while you're home and all that stuff too.
But then would my battery system charge the trolling motors? Probably not.
Yeah. Because it's going from the actual trolling motor out, from the batteries
inside of the charging system.
Yeah, in other words, that's coming from the batteries to the trolling motor. It has nothing to do with the charging system.
Mm.
Charging system before that, you know, goes from the charging to the batteries, and then the breaker goes from the batteries to the trolling motor. But you also have electrolysis that goes on all the time too. If you don't turn that juice off of that trolling motor.
Hmm.
You know. 222-8255. Give us a call. Be back.
Controlling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including Keep Alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, and we're back this morning. Talking about kind of how to make sure your boat's okay in case we get some flooding going around in here. Bill brought up a good thing. Throw your anchor out. And give
Bill,
you
Bill said to tie it up to the dock at Sisters Creek and drive home.
If you've got it insured really good.
No, throw the anchor out because if it lifts up due to flooding. I worked on claims where the guy's boat was 500 yards down in the woods. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to get it out of there. If you just throw the anchor out, at least it won't go far.
Yeah.
So you could put the anchor down.
Yeah, just throw it on the ground.
And just and throw out, you know, maybe 80, 90 foot of rope or whatever.
No, it's not going to get 90 feet deep.
No,
it's
but, just, you, but you're going to have
just throw a the lot anchor of, out that you have.
Yeah, but you're going to have a lot of wind. So
yeah, but it's not going to drag it through your yard in the woods. Mm. That anchor's going to hook up. Mm. It's not like on a sandbar.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I worked on a big sailboat in Key Biscayne claim. The guy took his boat. They make him get him off the docks,
mm-hmm.
you know, to save the docks. And so he hooked his boat onto a buoy that was made for big boats. This boat was 52 feet long. There was 100 boats there in Biscayne Bay. And after the storm, there was two.
Mm.
The rest were gone. I worked on another one where they did the same thing. There was 198 boats, and there was none. They were on islands. They were gone.
Hmm.
People started stealing them. You know, it's pretty bad.
Hmm. If you get out in the Keys, they pull them into the mangroves and tie them off inside the mangrove creeks.
That makes sense.
Oh, there you go.
And they don't. Yeah. I mean, those mangroves are rooted. They're not going anywhere.
Right. I also worked on some guys that were in Louisiana. They went for the Cajun Navy,
uh-huh.
and two of them. One of them hit a guardrail, ripped a hole in his boat, and the other one hit a fire hydrant and tore his lower unit off while he was down there trying to help people because they're riding around downtown.
Yeah, because you can't see where that stuff's
right.
at. Yeah, let's get Dave on. Morning, Dave.
Good morning. I tried to call last week late in the program when you were talking about sharks and didn't get through.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've been shark fishing for 54 years, and with the new regulations, had to change a lot of my leaders and tackle and everything else, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who like it. I mean, you know, we take people shark fishing, you know, off and on. I don't take it. Seems like we don't have as many as we used to have. I don't know if you have as many.
People wanting to go.
Yeah, shark fishing is
well, much, once we start catching them, they get really excited about them.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've had actually, you know, like you're talking about, Dave, had a lot of people that just that actually want to go out and target them because they'd never caught a big shark before. You know, the problem with a lot of it is, you know, some of these regulations they were talking about in those meetings that I went to and all, the shore-based shark fishing stuff.
Right.
I figured that this wasn't going to stop with only shore-based. And sure enough, you know, they've got this stuff where they say, you know, you're using, like, require the use of non-offset, non-stainless steel circle hooks to target or harvest sharks when using live or dead natural bait when fishing from shore and from a vessel. So see, yes. now they're squeezing this stuff in here, and they've got like I think two or three of these that's in here. Require the prohibited shark species remain in the water when fishing from shore or from a vessel. You know, and require possession use of a device capable of quickly cutting the leader or hook when targeting sharks when fishing from shore or a vessel. You know, so this is kind of getting into the vessel thing. It's not really the shore-based shark fishing requirements only, you know.
With the permit, they're trying to find out just how many people are doing it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, that way, because if you're targeting sharks, then you're supposed to have a permit. Now, if you're out there fishing and you catch a shark, you know, that's, you know, you're going to have people on the beach or whatever, you know, raise cane about it because, you know, even though you're not targeting a shark, you could catch one at any time. I mean,
you don't know what's going to bite your hook.
Exactly. You know, so some of these regulations kind of just get me because of that purpose, you know.
Well, one thing that bothers me, after I caught my first shark years ago, I realized there was a lot to it and didn't know what I was doing, and I heard there was a Florida Shark Club in Jacksonville, so I went and joined the club. And meetings and talking to other people and fishing with other people, in other words, I learned a lot. And now there's not very many clubs, and people are getting their info off Facebook or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is
not correct.
Exactly. Yes. It's the thing about the info for, you know, the, how would you say, the statistics that they call, that they say that how many, you know, sharks are being killed and this and that and other thing. I don't really believe all of that, because there's a lot of stuff that's not reported. And also, you know, you have these environmental groups that they like to try to exaggerate quite a bit. And I know, you know, when we talk about that, people might get upset about it. But you have exaggeration and all that stuff. That meeting we went to, there was actually very few fishermen. This was last year. There was actually very few fishermen there. But there was some shark, you know, fishermen there. But what they did is the shark lovers that said, you know, people shouldn't catch a shark ever. They had come in a big group, and then they put a little bit over in this side of the room, a little bit in the middle, a little bit in that side of the room, a little bit in the back, to where it seemed like there was majority of the people in that room was all against it. And they, right. You know, they do that on purpose, you know, to try to get the FWC to see that they're not together, but they were all together. I mean, after the meeting, you can see them all get together and start talking again. You know, they were all together. It's just that they tried to, you know, one of the worst things in the world on the water anymore is a fisherman, you know. It kind of gets me. It's like one of the worst things in the world now is, you know, is an old white man, you know.
Right.
You know, we're the cause of all the bad things. They don't say we're the cause of this great country, but, you know, we're the cause of all the bad things, you know. So
are those fishermen as bad as the hunters?
Well,
they're evil.
They will be. I mean, they, you know. As far as the environmental groups are concerned, you know.
The impression I got from the people complaining was they were trying to eliminate tournaments.
Yeah.
So if you can't take them out of the water, and you don't want you to take pictures, and they don't want you to measure the shark and quickly get it back in the water, that makes it pretty hard for people trying to, you know, fish a tournament.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, they had this poster of somebody sitting on a shark and holding his nose way up in the air to spread his teeth, you know. You know, I don't agree with that, but they were talking about how much it hurts the shark and this and that and the other thing, you know. But, you know, if you look at it, the only people that have the only scientists that say that fish feel pain is the scientists that work for PETA. All the other scientists say that, you know, that they don't have that part of the brain that allows them to feel pain. And, you know, the reason they're trying to, you know, pull away from you is they're not used to something pulling them by the mouth and stuff. So, you know, you got the few that's going to say it's, you know, it's hurting them, you know.
I just wanted to give you my phone number in case you have any other questions or needed to contact me.
Oh, okay. Before you hang up. Yeah, I'll write it down. I got it down here. And, all right, I appreciate it, Dave.
Hey, Dave, can you give me your quick list of best sharks to eat?
Well, I tell you what,
hold on.
Let me put you on hold because we're fixing to cut it off right now. We'll be right back with you.